make grace to be conditional. God will give you grace when you believe. God will give you grace when you repent. They make salvation conditional. And we say free grace because that means there's no conditions on salvation. All the conditions for a sinner to be saved was accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ. Our salvation was accomplished for us completely outside of ourselves, entirely objective. And that's what the gospel does. It tells you what you need to do. It tells you what Christ has done. And what has to happen is God's got to give you faith. You ain't got it. And only grace can give you faith. And Christ is the only one who can grant repentance. And that's why we use the term free grace. Is because there's no conditions on salvation. Christ has met them all. And that's, you can rest in that. I don't have to do a thing. But believe, trust Him, look to Him. And I could not do that had He not come to me first and brought me to believe. And that's what I'm going to talk about again today. I'm going to say same. I'm going to hit that same old string. I preached on this a couple of weeks ago, but I wanted to continue on Christ being our brother. And today I want to talk about Joseph's revelation of himself to his brother, to his brethren. Now what we have here in the verses I read is Joseph's 10 brethren. These are the ones who despised him, hated him, and rejected him. Now Joseph had revealed to them that they would one day be under subjection to him. He had done told them that. He had made that known. Look with me back over in chapter 37 here of Genesis, just a moment. Chapter 37. This is why they hated him and they rejected him. They would not have this man to reign over them. And yet he had done told them that not only him, but his own father and his mother would one day have to bow to him. And look what it says here in verse 5 of Genesis 37. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to me, to my sheaf. And his brethren said unto him, Shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and his words. What did our Lord tell the Pharisees? Except you believe I'm he, you'll die in your sin. He said, You're of your father the devil. Oh no, we're not born of fornication. Abraham's our father. He said, If Abraham were your father, you'd do the deeds of Abraham. You'd believe me, for Abraham believed me, and before Abraham was, I am. And then look what happens now. In verse 9, and he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. His father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? He had done told them they would. And they do. Just like our Savior. Now back over here in our text. So here you see Joseph had to reveal to them, made known to them, that one day they would all bow down to him, be under subjection to him. Everything they got, they'd get from him. And then Joseph brought his brethren to own their own guilt and inability. This is one thing Christ does. He brings us to own our own guilt and inability. Back over here in Genesis 44 and verse 14. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him on the ground. He told them they were going to do this. And Joseph said unto them, What deed is this that you have done? Wot you not that such a man as I can certainly divine or make revealed and make to be known? And Judah said, What shall we say to my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God has found out the iniquity of thy servants. Oh my, they had to own their guilt and end up. How are we going to clear ourselves? We can't clear ourselves. What are we going to do? Now, let's go back over here in chapter 45 and go through a few things here this morning. Then Joseph could not restrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, "Cause every man to go after me," and there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. Here we see Joseph, revelation of himself. It says Joseph made himself known. Well, who did he make himself known to? His brethren, his people, his old brethren. Now let me tell you something, beloved. No one could reveal Joseph to his own brethren but himself. Nobody else could do it. Anybody else would have come up and said, "That's your brother Joseph." No, that's not true. The only person who could make Joseph known to his brethren was Joseph himself. He's the only one who could reveal himself. You see, there was a time, you remember, said there that he knew them, but they knew him not. No one knew they were his brethren but him. Pharaoh didn't know it. The servants didn't know it. Nobody else in Egypt knew it. The only person knew it was Joseph himself. And Christ has brethren in this world. He's not ashamed to call them brethren. And he knows where every single one of them is. And the only way in the world they're ever going to know who he is, for he to reveal himself to them. Now, ain't that right? And all, beloved, look over here in John 8. Keep Genesis. Look in John 8:59 with me just a moment. You know, our Lord Jesus could hide himself at will from people. You remember one time they came to take him, going to throw him over a cliff. And he just went through right the middle of them, and they didn't know where he went and how he got there and how he got out from among them. And then people could be looking at him and not see him. He could just hide himself to them just like that. And that's what happens to Joseph. Joseph hid himself. And everything that God has is hid in Christ. All that Christ is, all that he did is hid till he reveals it to his brethren. Look in John 8:59. Then they took up stones to cast at him, and Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. How do you hide yourself and travel at the same time and walk? And everybody looking at you. Everybody got stones getting ready to stone you. And all of a sudden they're looking at him and he ain't there anymore. And still he's walking out of the temple. He hides himself. He can blind a man. He can make a man not see until he wills for them to see. Now ain't that right? Our Father, Lord Jesus, said, "I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid." Hid what? Christ. Hid the gospel. Hid the wisdom of God and the power of God. Hid these things from the wise and prudent. And watch this. And revealed them to babes. Oh, beloved, listen. I want to show you another verse. Look in 1 Corinthians 2:7. This is, you know, all the treasures of wisdom of God's hid in the Lord Jesus Christ. The treasures of wisdom's hid in Christ. Everybody thinks they know the right way. Everybody thinks they've got the world by the tail on a downhill drag. Everybody thinks they've got the answer. But I'm telling you something, beloved. Everything's hid in Christ. Church membership's not hid. Tithing's not hid. Good works is not hid. Free will's not hid. Morality's not hid. Doing the best you can is not hid. Joining the church is not hid. Baptism's not hid. But Christ is hid. The gospel is hid. The wisdom of God is hid. The power of God is hid. Where's it hid at? It's hid in Christ. Everybody knows what it takes to get to heaven. Let's work our way up. We got a ladder. Let's start climbing. We got to start at the bottom and we'll work our way up. And we'll get there eventually. If we just endure, if we just hold on, if we do the best we can, if we'll just work, if we'll give, if we'll pray, if we'll read our Bibles, if we'll believe the right doctrine, everything will be okay. That's not right. The treasures. And Christ is the treasure. Wisdom of God is a treasure. The power of God is a treasure. Christ's blood is a treasure. The sacrifice of Christ is a treasure. And you can't see that until Christ reveals it to you. Now, ain't that right? Look here in 1 Corinthians 2:7. Paul says, "We speak the wisdom of God." God's wisdom, not worldly wisdom, which God ordained, well, even the hidden wisdom. Hidden. It was hidden to me for years. Quit smoking wasn't hid to it from me. Good works wasn't hid from me. Women not wearing pants wasn't hid from me. But the wisdom of God was hid from me. Even the hidden wisdom of God. And look out here. It was ordained before the world to our glory. Here these fellas are down there in Canaan where everything's supposed to be all right. But boy, beloved, they got down there and they didn't know where anything was until they got to Joseph, and certainly didn't know who Joseph was. That's why the scripture says if our gospel be hid, it's hid to who? Them that are lost. You see, men walk with Christ, talk with Christ, and never saw anybody more than the son of Mary and Joseph, never saw anybody more than a poor Galilean. And I ask you this, has he revealed himself to you? Is the gospel, see the wisdom of God in the gospel now? How God can be just and holy and true and righteous and be right in saving you. And doing it through the Lord Jesus Christ as a sacrifice and a sin offering and a substitute for you. Do you see how God, the only way He can take you and join Him to Himself is through a blood offering, and that blood offering was the Son of God Himself? That your sin must be paid for. You must die for your sin. And the only way you can die for your sin is die in the sin of yourself or die in a substitute. And Christ was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the very righteousness of God in Him. Do you see that? Do you see that as the power of God that brought the gospel to you? And this power is in Christ? Oh my. Well, back over in Genesis 45. Joseph nobody could make Joseph known to his brethren but Joseph. Nobody can make Christ known to his brethren but Christ. And then not only was it the revelation of Joseph himself to his brethren, it was the revelation of one who was rejected. And also the revelation of a guilty past. Look there in verse 3. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. And his brethren could not answer him. Oh my, why? But they were troubled. Troubled at his presence. Huh? You know what that means there? That word troubled means they were terrified. Here's the man we sold. Here's the one we hated. Here's the one that we went back and told our father, he's dead. We're done with him. And oh, they were troubled at his presence. Ain't that what Job said? I heard of you with the hearing of an ear. Now my eye sees you. And I abhor myself. And beloved, I'm telling you, beloved, when it's the revelation of a guilty past, we did mistreated this man. We're guilty of this man's blood. And beloved, we, if Christ hadn't been for our sin, they sung a song in the meeting last week that I should have been crucified. Well, I told them when I got up after that, not a wonderful song, don't misunderstand me, but I was crucified. I shouldn't have been, I was. We're at, in Christ. He took my place, but when He took my place, I got on the cross with Him. And oh, beloved, listen, we become terrified when we realize how guilty we are before God. And look what it else it is. It's the revelation of real kinship. Down here in verse 4. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. He said, I am Joseph, your brother. I am Joseph, your brother. Huh? You keep that. He said, I'm your brother. Christ calls us brethren. Look over here in Matthew 28 with me just a moment. I want you to see this. This is such a blessing to me. Oh, my. You know, it says over there in Hebrews 2, because we are one with Him, He's not ashamed to call us brethren. Because we're sanctified by Him, He's not ashamed to call us brethren. Because He humbled Himself even unto death, He's not ashamed to call us brethren. And on, listen to what it says here now. In verse 10. Then said Matthew 28:10. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Now watch this. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Who's going to see me when I get in Galilee? My brethren. My brethren. And you know, one way you can tell if you're one of Christ's brethren, He's not ashamed to call you brethren, is do you see Him? He said, I go before you into Galilee, and there shall you see me. The only way you know your brethren is because you see Him. Oh, He told Mary, He says, touch me not. I've not yet seen unto my Father and your Father, my God and your God. Oh, we have the same Father, the same God. And as a man, He obeyed God. And as a man, He come down and humbled Himself and become one with us and identified with us. And now He's not ashamed to call us brethren. And what a condescension to do that. There's a brother born for adversity. And if there's any adversity right now, these fellas are in it. And there's a brother born for their adversity right now. And not only that is the revelation of Himself and guilt and one rejected and real kinship, but it's the revelation. It's a revelation. All this is a revelation. When Joseph revealed himself, all this was revealed with him and with what he said. It's a revelation of great, great grace. And he says in verse 5, now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. Oh my. Oh, whom ye sold indeed. The first thing he says, don't be grieved with yourself. Don't be grieved with yourself. Don't be heavy hearted. Don't discharge yourself. Don't turn against yourself. What he's saying here is, I forgive you. And not only do I not forgive you, but I forget what you've done. You whom you sold. It's over. It's done. I don't remember it. It's forgot. It's forgiven. That's what he's saying. He forgives them of their sin and willing to forget it. Oh my, he says, you know, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, whom we have, if His fullness have we received. Grace for grace. Grace brought them down there. Grace revealed Himself to them. Grace says that I forgive you. Grace upon grace upon grace. When you think you've had grace, He gives you more. It's grace enough for Him to make Himself known to you. But oh, what grace to say, I forget. Your sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Oh my. Beloved, and I've told you this before, if your sins and anything in your past comes back into your mind and you're ashamed of them and it hurts you and it grieves you, it's not God that does it. He says, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. I'll cast them as far as the east is from the west. I'll cast them behind my back, cast them into the depths of the sea, blot them out as a thick cloud. I looked for sin in Judah and Jacob and I could not find any. I mean, they're gone. Where they at? Christ bore them away. Just like that scapegoat, when the high priest laid his hands on the head of that scapegoat, he had two goats. One he put the hands on and confessed the sins of Israel over. They took it and slew it. A ram of the first year slew that one. That atoned for the sin. And to show that the sins was atoned for and was gone, he went over to this other one and put his hands on the head of it, confessed all the sin of all of his people, and a fit man carried it off into the wilderness. And when he got into the wilderness, they said, they saw it go, sins went with it, guilt went with it, Everything was gone. Sins are gone. They're atoned over here and they're carried away. And that fit man would come back without that goat. Christ went to the cross, went in the tomb, and was raised again for our justification. Sins atoned for, sins carried away, and raised again. And their sins I will remember against them anymore. Look what else he says to these men here. In verse 5. Excuse me, in verse 4 he says, come near to me. Come near to me. And watch what happens. And they came near. Come near to me. Christ says, come unto me. All the Father give me shall come to me. Oh my. Come, not just come, come near. Come near. And oh, beloved, we were, you that were far off are now made nigh by the blood of Christ. Huh? And we draw near now. We draw near right now. We draw near to God right now. We don't have to stand afar off. And in fact, I don't care what happened. When Simon Peter denied the Lord and went back fishing as quick as he knew it was the Lord on the seashore with that fire and fish on the coals, he jumped in the water to get to Christ as fast as he could. After all he had done, he still felt the liberty and the confidence and the freedom to draw near to Christ. Huh? And we draw near by a new way. Not the old way. A living way Christ ever lives to make intercession for us. His flesh was the veil, and that veil's gone, taken away, and we can come into the holiest of holies now through our Lord Jesus Christ. And not only was it a revelation of great grace, but it's a revelation of a great salvation. Look down here in verse 7. Great salvation. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity, preserve you life, preserve you a generation in the earth, and to save your lives, what's this, by great deliverance. Now, you notice what it says there? First of all, it says God sent me. God sent me before you. God prepared for His people before they ever come to Egypt. God had it prepared for His people. Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, and God had salvation, had food, had everything provided for these of His brethren before they ever came to where Joseph was. Before Joseph ever made himself known, everything they needed was already provided for. God sent me. God prepared for us. You remember in Jonah, four prepared things. Four prepared things. Who prepared them? God did. What kind of salvation we have if we prepared it? It'd be awful. It'd be absolutely horrible. We'd be walking aisles, making decisions, signing cards, going in the baptismal pool of West, a lost sinner, coming out of it a wet lost sinner. Huh? God prepared. And you know how it was prepared? It was prepared through great, great suffering. Great suffering. Joseph, beloved, when he got down there this way, prepared for them, when God sent him down there, he went through great, great suffering to get where he was. First of all, he's put in a pit. Our Lord Jesus Christ came down and so identified with us that, beloved, He became bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. And not only that, beloved, but then they put Him in prison. A woman accused Him of sin. Christ was falsely accused. And not only was He falsely accused of sin, then He was put in prison. Set in prison. Put in bondage. By a false accusation with no sin. And then he was brought up out of that prison. And then, beloved, he told everybody what was going to happen and that the only way in the world to be saved is do what I tell you. And they said, well, we'll do what you say. And sure enough, he became the ruler of all Egypt. With all the bread. And Christ our Lord went into that prison. Went under the wrath of God, the prison house of sin itself, and destroyed sin, went into death itself and destroyed death, and came back out. And right now he sits at the right hand of God. He got there through great, great suffering. And beloved, these men were saved. He said, a great deliverance. God sent me to save your lives by a great deliverance. They was asked, their lives were saved. It was an attempt to save them. He didn't try to save them. He didn't say, I want to save you. I'd like to save you. He said, God prepared a great salvation for you to save your lives. Oh, my. And I'm telling you, beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ, He did not make salvation possible. He has saved His people. He didn't open the door. He is the door. And then look what else He's done for them. Look what else He's done for them. He reveals He has a great provision for them in Egypt. What it says in verse 10. Oh, when they get down there, wherever they come near to Him, when they come down where He's at, look, come to where He's at, look what happens now. He reveals He has a great provision for them there in Egypt. And we're in Egypt now. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. And love this. And shalt be near unto me. Your children and your children's children, your flocks, your herds, and all. I'm okay. Take care of everything. And there was this. I will nourish you. He didn't say there. You're all going to make the best you can out of a bad situation. No. I'm going to put. And listen. I'll nourish you. I'll provide for you. And you shall dwell in the land of Goshen. Goshen was the best spot of ground in all of Egypt. And when I put you, you're going to dwell in Goshen. If you're going to dwell where the best is at. And I'm going to take care of you. I'm not only going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of what you eat. I'm going to take care of what you wear. I'm going to take care of what you drink. I'm going to take care of your cows. I'm going to take care of your herds. I'm going to take care of your children. I'm going to take care of everything you got. And then on top of that, I'm going to nourish you. And listen, and you're going to be near to me. Oh, and beloved, we dwell in the best part. We have the best portion in Egypt. We're in Egypt. This world is Egypt. And we're living in Egypt. But we dwell in the land of Goshen. We dwell where Christ is. Where the gospel is. And He provides for everything we've got. Has He not nourished us and made us fat? Made us well? Made us healthy? Made us all the things He's given us? We cannot begin to enumerate His blessings upon us. Huh? Oh, let the world have everything else. We've got Goshen. We've got Christ. We've got His promise. Let the Egyptians have the rest. We've got Him. We've got His gospel. We got the bread from heaven. We got the water of life. We got righteousness. We got forgiveness. We got peace with God. We got peace in our hearts. We got justification. Oh, we got the best. And then watch what it says there. Last part of verse 11. And all that thou hast, and lest thou and thy household, all that thou hast, come to poverty. He said, I'm not going to let you come to poverty. If you come down here and try to make it on your own, you're going to come to poverty. That's why I'm going to nourish you. I'm going to take care of you. You're not going to come to poverty. You're not going to do it. And then look what He does now in verse 15. He assures them now that He accepts them in verse 15. Moreover, He kissed all His brethren and wept on them. Wept upon them. He kissed all of His brethren. You know what a kiss represents? Love. First thing I think of a kiss is love. You kiss people you love. A child gets hurt, say, let me kiss that hurt. husband kissed their wives, the wives kissed their husband. They love one another. And then there's kisses of forgiveness. You know, whenever you do somebody wrong or you hurt somebody, their feelings are hurt or something, you kiss them, you know, and it's a kiss of forgiveness. Oh, everything's all right. Everything's okay. It's like the prodigal. When he went back to his father's house, you know what the father done? The father ran to him and fell on his neck, just like it said here. And he kissed him. You notice here, Joseph's brethren didn't kiss him. He kissed them. The prodigal didn't kiss his father. The father kissed the prodigal. And beloved, I love you. And I forgive you. I accept you. And I take you just like you are. Huh? And look what happens now. What happens there after he kissed them. In verse 15. After that, his brethren talked with him. When? After he kissed them. After he showed how much he loved them. How much he showed how what a great affection that they were forgiven. And you know, I'll tell you, you know, if he had drew out a sword, they couldn't have said a word. But instead, he reached out and kissed every one of them. Kissed every single one of them. And then they felt the freedom and the liberty and the confidence to talk to him after the kiss. After Christ makes his love known to us, after he shows us his great affection, shows us and with the kisses of forgiveness, we talk to him then. Talk to him. And let me show you this. Down here in verse 16. And there was Joseph's joy was shared. Joseph was overjoyed for his brethren. Loved his brethren. Done all for his brethren. And it says in verse 15, and there his joy was shared by others. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. Oh, it's joy in heaven over the presence of one sinner. There's joy in the presence of the Father over one sinner that repented. Joy in the presence of the angels, it says. And ain't that what it says? Joseph's brethren are come, and it pleased Pharaoh well. It pleased the Father well. It pleased the one in authority well. And it even pleased the servants. Oh, and how we rejoice. Don't we look at the joy that fills our hearts when somebody confesses Christ. What a joy it fills our souls when somebody embraces Christ. How we rejoice. And beloved, there's joy in heaven over angels, in the angels, presence of the angels, and in the presence of the Father. Over one sinner that repents. More than over 99 just persons that don't need it. And then let me show you this. Verse 9. They have a message revealed to them. Joseph reveals a message to him, gives him a message. He gives him a message. He said, haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me. Tarry not. They have a message revealed to him. It says, haste ye and go up. And you got something to say when you go up there. Don't just go up. You got something to say when you get there. Huh? It's like that woman at the well. She threw away her water pot. And she said, come run. And said, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. That Gadarean maniac wanted to follow the Lord Jesus Christ after he clothed him. In his right mind, put clothes on his back. He's sitting at the feet of Christ. And our Lord said, go to your house, your family, your friends, and tell them what great things the Lord hath done for you. And all beloved, haste ye and go up. And here's the first thing he told him to say. Look down verse 25. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father. And this is what they told him, say, Joseph is yet alive. Joseph's alive. As far as Jacob was concerned and all those brethren, he's dead. And that's what Christ has done, believers. He's dead. They don't see Him alive. They don't see Him risen. And that's what we come to tell you. Our Lord's a living Lord, a risen Lord, an exalted Lord, a Lord with life in Him. To them, He was dead. And what news it is to come and say, He's alive. Remember, they come to the tomb and looked in. Where is He? Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. And oh, beloved, go down there and tell Him He's alive. And not only that, but proclaim He's exalted. Look back up there in verse 9. He said, you tell them down there, you tell my Father that God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. All Egypt. I've got power over the whole thing. Thou hast given Him power over all flesh. God hath committed all things into the hands of the Son. And then look what else He says in verse 13. And you shall tell my Father of all my glory in Egypt. When you get down there, tell them my glory. Don't tell them the glory of Egypt. Tell them my glory. Tell them what I've done. Tell them what you've seen. Tell them of my throne. Tell them of my clothes. Tell them of my provisions. Tell them of my promises. Tell them of my wealth. You go down there and tell them my glory. And tell them what you've seen. Huh? And hey, beloved, that's all we can tell. Tell what we've seen and what we've heard. And then when you get down there, tell them not only that I'm exalted, that I'm alive, and that my glory, but tell them to come to me. Look what He says there in verse 9. Come down unto me, and don't tarry about it. Don't wait. Come now. Come right now. Come to me. You know who He's talking to come down? His family, His brethren, His people. And all He's telling them, I've got the power and the ability. And He has the power and ability to save His house, to save His people. Ain't that right? Ain't that right? Well, how do you reckon Jacob would react to this? How do you think they would react to this? Now look in verse 26. And they told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. He told them just what they said. He's got all the power down there. He's got all the wealth down there. He's got all the authority down there. And oh, watch this now. I mean, when he goes through, everybody bows down to him. And Jacob's heart fainted, grew weak, unbelieving. For he believed them not. That's the first reaction. I don't believe that. I just can't believe that. I can't believe that Joseph has all the power, all the authority, all the wealth, all this provision, and I can't believe that he's yet alive. And that he can give me everything I need. But now look in verse 27. Look how he became a believer. And they told him all the words of Joseph. That's how they became believer. Just telling him what Joseph said. You know, we tell you what Christ has. Scott Richardson said, just what preaching is talking from God's word, from God's heart and His word to your heart. And that's what it is. Just telling back to sinners what God's already said. And that's what he said. He believed the words of Joseph. And then not only that, but then look what he said. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, you don't even have to go back by yourself. I'm going to carry you back. I'm going to see that you have a way to get back. And when he heard the words and saw the wagons, saw the provisions, it says, Jacob's father revived. Huh? And then look what he says in verse 28. And Israel said, hey, before he is Jacob, now he's Israel. It is enough. It's enough. I've heard his word. I've heard He's alive. I've seen His provisions. And I'll go and see Him before I die. And let me give you one more thing. I know you're tired and I know you're weary. But let me try to finish if I can. Here in verse 24, Joseph gives his brethren a warning. Gives them a warning. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. They went to do just exactly what he said. And he said unto them, see that you fall not out by the way. See that you fall not out by the way. He sent his brethren away, and he sent them with a message. He sent them with provision. Then he said, see that you fall not out by the way. Oh my, ain't that what our Master says to us? I'll give you everything, provide everything. And don't be like Judas. Don't be like Demas. Don't even be like David. Don't do the things that David did. Don't be like Solomon, be drawn away by strange women. Don't be like Simon Peter, deny the Master. Don't be like them. Be like Paul over in Philippians chapter 3, and I'll close. Oh, see that you fall not out by the way. How many people fall out by the way? How many people fall out by the way? They go down and they find out all that Christ has and all that Christ will do. And they hear the promises. They hear that He's alive. They see all that He's got and what He's done for all of His brethren. And they'll say, boy, I want to join up with that bunch. And in a little while, they fall out by the way. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, takes them away. Disinterestedness takes them away. Lots of things that take a person away and make them fall out by the way. But look what Paul says. Finally, my brethren, Philippians 3:1. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice. They rejoiced in Joseph. Let's rejoice in our Master. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous. I don't care to say the same thing over and over and over again. It's safe for you. It's the very safe. It's the best thing for you. Beware of dogs who will bark at you, scare you, hurt you. Beware of evil workers come to draw you away after Christ. Beware of the concision, those who are so concise in their doctrine, so concise in their manner, so concise in their dealing with the law. Cross all the T's and dot all the I's. Now watch this, for we are the circumcision, circumcised in heart, which worship God, here we go, in the Spirit, nothing outward, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. That means that this flesh has nothing to offer to God, had no confidence in what it can do or what it can accomplish or it can commend itself to God. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but believe to the saving of the soul. Now, see that you fall not out by the way. Our Father, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your mercy. Thank You for the truth as it is in Christ. I thank You for the Word. Lord, I'm like Jacob. I heard Your Word and I see Your provision. And that's enough. That's enough. I bless You for that. God, meet the needs of this body of believers. Save those. Enable those who You've done a work for and are doing a work for to come to You, believe You, own You as their own, acknowledge that You're the Lord. Enable them to do that. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for saving.